Appreciate the sweet prayer that's been offered. Keep praying for me. This morning, I'd like to call your attention to the writings of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from Matthew chapter 25 today. Matthew chapter 25. We begin reading this morning at verse 14. And do feel very much in need of your prayers, as we know we are. It takes the Lord to bless us to be able to speak in His name. I know we mention that each time, but I think it's vitally important for us to recognize that, so that God's people are praying anytime one comes to stand before them, that they are mindful to pray for that individual, that the Lord might bless them, because without the Lord's blessing, we will not have the ability to preach. And without the Lord's blessing, you won't have the ability to hear. And you've heard that many, many, many times. And if you keep coming here, you're going to hear it many, many more. Because I want you to understand that. Recognize that. That anytime I stand before you, I need your prayers to be able to preach. And I do want to preach. I desire to feed the little lambs and sheep that have gathered. I have a duty and a responsibility and a calling. I'm one of His called ministers to feed the lambs and the sheep. And I need the Lord to bless me to be able to do that. And without His blessing, I can't do that. And yet if He blesses, it's a wonderful time when God's children are able to have green pastures and feed and still waters and drink and nourish their hungry souls in this whole world that has no good news. The good news of the gospel is a joyful sound that's cold water to a thirsty soul. It's good news from a far country. It's for people that the Lord has called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. And it's that which nourishes and strengthens His little lambs and His little sheep. And if the Lord will bless us to share in that, there's no place better to be than in the green pastures and the still waters the Lord's prepared for us here in His church and in this world. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a parable here of the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew speaks of the kingdom of heaven in so very, very many places. The kingdom of heaven is that place the Lord came here and established and set up here in this world for the Lord's people to live in and have fellowship in. It's a kingdom that is cannot be seen by everyone, not understood by everyone. It's a place of fellowship where there's a king who is on his throne. There are priests and kings who are sitting along with the Lord. Not that we're above Him or equal to Him, but subservient to Him. But as we walk in this world, looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we are as His children, kings and priests here in this world. We're kings in the sense that we can overcome so many of the hardships and difficulties that are in life and all that comes as a result of being alive. You're made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You're made to be overcomers. To he that overcometh, you're able to sit down and eat of the tree of life here in this world and have fellowship with the Lord. And though we have problems and sickness and all the many things we've already mentioned, they don't overwhelm us. They don't destroy us. We're cast down at times, but not destroyed. We're not forsaken. We have a strength in the Lord that allows us to live as kings and rule and be overcomers in a world that, though you have many, many trials and troubles. And the Lord teaches us how to do that as we live and feed in His kingdom. And we recognize we couldn't do anything without the King of Kings. If the Lord didn't bless me to be an overcomer, I couldn't be an overcomer. If the Lord didn't bless me to be able to get through a problem, I'd never get through it. The Lord didn't bless me to understand something, I wouldn't understand it. If the Lord doesn't take care of me, and it's true also of you, the Lord doesn't take care of you, you simply won't make it. And so many are getting by the grace of God and don't have a clue that that's happening for them, even though that's still a reality for every one of God's children. But we ought to be living knowing that, and how much better our lives are when we do know that. How much more rest and peace and joy, which is the kingdom of God, by the way. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but is righteousness, joy, and peace and peace might be in a different order, but it's those things in the Holy Ghost. And when you have that, and you have feel the manifest presence of God, and you feel the cleansing righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's removed your sins from you, and you have the joy of the Lord, which really isn't about circumstances. It isn't about your health. It isn't about your wealth or lack thereof. It's the joy that comes from Jesus and having fellowship with the Lord's people here in this world. And it's a communion that is a real joy that's not like the fleeting joys of this world that are there for a little while when things are going well, but then quickly turn south, which, by the way, doesn't take long. You know, your health is good. You feel happy. Well, hang in there. You're not going to be happy long because your health is going to deteriorate. If you think you got everything going well, hang in there a little while. Something will mess up. I mean, you're going to have problems in this old world. You get a brand new boss at work and you think, boy, this is the best boss ever. And I remember an old fellow a long time ago when I got a new boss. I said, oh, this boy is the best fella I've ever had as a boss. He said, well, you know, every new broom sweeps clean. And what he meant by this, let him work a while, let him wind out, let's see how the broom works after a while. And sure enough, just like any new place you come, any new people you meet, any person, doesn't take long for the errors to show up, does it? Doesn't take long for the situation to turn, what seems so good, to turn a little bit negative. And what do you do when the situation turns negative? What do you do when you're facing the problems that are sure to come in this world? The Bible tells us one thing that we will have in this world for sure, and that's going to be days that are few and full of trouble. You're going to have problems in your life. And there is a place, there is a home, there's a fellowship, there's that which the Lord has provided for His little children, an activity, a lifestyle, a conversation which includes everything that you do that allows you to live as kings and priests in this world that doesn't have anything to do with anything naturally. Really, it's talking, you know, you'll have food and raiment. God's promised you that. And He says, and if you have contentment, God said, and you have contentment, you've gained more than if you gained the whole world. And if you don't have those things, then you are missing what the real important thing of life for God's little children is all about. Now, the man of the world will never see this, never understand it, never be concerned about it. He's living for one thing, and that's life. And he just wants to stay alive, and he wants to get all the stuff he can get, hold on to as much of it as he can, live as long as he can, hold on to his health and his wealth and everything right down to the moment of death, and go out holding on, clutching on to it as he leaves this old world, even angry with the Lord to the point he's spitting in the very face of God. And you and I would be right among that. We would never have changed. You may think, well, I'm sure glad I changed. Listen, if you changed, it's because God changed you. You didn't say one day, oh, I think I'm going to be different, do different, act different. You'd been right there. And listen, so would I. He said, well, so-and-so preached to me. Listen, if so-and-so preached to you, he'd have just made you mad. Unless the Lord preached to you first, unless the Lord gave you an understanding, all that person would have done is what you and I have found in our own life. Have you ever had somebody tell you what to do and you just didn't like to hear it and you didn't want to hear it? I'm number one on the list. You know, there's lots of times I don't want to hear that, even though I know I need it. You know, go pick on somebody else. You go talk to someone else. When the Lord works on your heart, though, He puts an appetite for instruction in your heart. Oh, you got the old flesh you got to fight and put off. But He puts an appetite and a hunger in you that you know I need to know some things. I need some correction. I need some change. I need a power to get along in this world that I can't find in and of myself. I need to live in a place. I have come where Solomon came to. Solomon had it all. I mean, he had a lot. You're talking about the top of the line kind of life as far as men would be concerned. He had money. He had wisdom.
He had everything. The world would say, boy, that man has it made. The Queen of the South came to see all that Solomon had, and she said the half hadn't even been told about the riches of this man and the wisdom of this man. And she tried him with many hard questions, and Solomon had the ability to answer those things. And yet that man got wrapped up in his own wisdom and died in idolatry. And I'm telling you, that didn't mean he wasn't God's child. It just meant he lost a lot of the joy. I believe Solomon's going to be in heaven, don't you? I'd have to be ignorant. I don't mean that bad. That sounded rough. I don't mean to be rough, but I want to be plain. Solomon was the Lord had blessed Solomon. Solomon prayed and God heard his prayer. You know what that tells me? If God heard Solomon's prayer, Solomon had an intercessor. Because Solomon didn't take his prayers to heaven. Solomon's prayers were heard because there was one who sat on the right hand of the Father, the eternal high priest of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who carried Solomon's petitions to heaven. The Father heard them, and the Lord himself answered Solomon's prayer, and it's been preached on many times. We've heard those answers, and you've heard about that so many times. And yet that very man who you would think could never fall away did fall away because he neglected such a great salvation. That didn't mean he lost his salvation. He didn't lose his eternal salvation. He didn't do anything to gain his eternal salvation. There was no work that he could have done to gain it. And so there's absolutely nothing he could do in losing it. What he did do was not utilize and exercise the blessings the Lord gave him in his life. And he turned to the things of this old world, which are out there, aren't they? Don't think they're not there for you. They're glittering on every corner. And the old devil would say, boy, if you'll just give up a little of that, you can have this. And when you get that, he'll say, if you'll just do this, you'll have this. And step by step, and that's the way he works. He doesn't just come in and say, oh, I want to take you down and ruin your life. He doesn't do that. You know, any of us would say, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going down that path to ruin my life. He'll say, no, just take this one step. It'll be better. And you take that, and it seems maybe a little better. And then he gets you into that lie, and next thing you know, he's got you in another lie. And the next thing you know, you got another lie, and then your whole life becomes a lie. And then you get hard and callous. Don't think a little child of God can have a heart that becomes hard and callous. So where you even come and the preaching doesn't reach where it used to reach. The hugs of the brethren don't mean what they used to mean. The songs you sing, well, you know, we sung them so many times, they don't sound. I hope today they sounded as sweet in your ears as they've ever sounded. I hope they were sweeter. I hope today, I pray today that our meeting will be the best you've ever been to. I remember little sister Charlotte. Remember, she'd go home and her family didn't quite understand that. But every time she'd go home, they'd say, how was the meeting? She said, I think it's the best one I've ever been at. They said, how could every one be the best one? See, I understand what she was saying. Oh, to live like that. Because it was the last one. The best one was the time I was in the fellowship with the Lord and I felt His presence. I felt His arms holding me. I felt He was there talking with me. It made my problems that seemed so big seem so little. It made my concerns, my cares about how I'm going to get through the week and how I'm going to face life seem so easy when I see that I've got one beside me who loved me enough that he died on Calvary some 2,000 years ago, paid a sin debt I could not pay, and washed me in his own blood, and has promised with that death that he would supply everything I ever need in this world. If I can just trust him and lean on him, I'll have green pastures and still waters every single day. And even if I'm in the desert, he'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's the one in the desert who fed his children with angels' food, manna. And when they got thirsty, he just busted a rock open and brought the water out. And listen, that rock wasn't just any rock, and that water wasn't just any water. The Bible says in the New Testament that rock was Christ, and it followed them. Wow. Do you realize he's the fountain of living water? He's there every day, every hour, every moment, every step of the way. And he's provided for you and me a kingdom, a place to live here in this world, a place that's a spiritual habitation, a place where we have fellowship with God's children, where we are one, a body of believers, one where every member is important, according to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, where like little Sister Lois said, just a little toenail is important. I've learned the importance of a toenail. You get a toenail messing up, it'll mess your whole body up. It'll cause you to go to the doctor to get it fixed. And if you remove it, you know, they said just take it off. You'll miss it. if it's not there, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. It's important to the body. Listen, the toes are important. They tell me if you have a big toe removed, you have to almost learn to walk again in order to adjust for its absence. Every finger, brother, stands, hands are important. He realizes that when you can't hold them. And little Sister Ashby loses one arm. And you realize how important that one arm, every eye, not to have an eye. You miss it. It's not the same without it. Not that, you know, your teeth, everything, every part of the body is important. Listen, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this kingdom, this gospel place that He's given us here in this world, every member has been given gifts and blessings by the same Spirit of Almighty God. Every voice is important to the congregational singing. Every prayer that's offered from the brethren who offer public prayer to the little sisters. Listen, little sisters, your prayers, these little ones, their prayers mean so much in the ears of Almighty God when the Spirit of the Lord carries that prayer from here in this world up to answer that. Your prayers are important. Don't think your place isn't important because not because you're something, but because our Master is everything. He's given us a place to be. And listen, there's a lot of God's little children out there. I don't want them out there. Not on Sunday morning, I want them in here. I want them here. And the reason is, it's because I feel the Lord's given me a burden for them. Paul said, I'm a debtor. He said, I'm not just a debtor to you brethren here at Rome, but I'm a debtor to the Jew and to the Greek, to the barbarian, to the free, to the wise, to the unwise. He said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that be in Rome also. He said he was a debtor to every little child of grace, to every member of the body of Christ, of those that he died for and paid the sin debt for on the tree of the cross. And he desired that he would. He was even, you know, as we read in the Bible, they were told, you go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That didn't mean go out in the world and try to call somebody that doesn't know the Lord to know the Lord, because you can't do that. But if the Lord's taught you to know Him, I want you to know Him. You say, well, that sounds like you mixed up. Well, no, if the Lord's taught you to know Him in your heart, I want you to know Him in your mind. I want you to understand who it is that's worked in your heart. I want you to understand who it is that loved you before the very foundation of the world. I want you to understand who it is that came here in this world and died for you. Who it is that paid a sin debt for you. Who it is that's loved you enough to call you out of all the mess you and I would be in if He'd have left us alone, and has given us a home in glory that awaits us and a life that's wonderful while you live here in this world. I don't have a bit of concern that one of God's little children for whom He died will miss that home in glory. Are you concerned about that today? Let me help you if you are. Listen, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I believe in regeneration, every one of them will be called, every one of them will be quickened. As many as He foreknew before the foundation of the world, He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestinated are those whom He called, and those whom He called are those whom He justified, and those whom He justified are those whom He glorified. And the same bunch that's, and it's an innumerable company that's in the beginning of that, is in the same ones that are in the end. He loses one. He said He'll not lose any of them. and not any part of them. He'll lose nothing. All that he's given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That means he's not going to lose their body. He's not going to lose their soul. He's not going to lose their spirit. We will be one day all together, every member of the family that he loved and covered enough and died and sent his son for and the son died for are going to be with him in heaven in immortal glory. If no preacher preaches, he will work that. He does it in little babies. And he, now, do you mean you don't think we ought to have preaching? Listen, nobody believes in preaching more than me. And the need of it. I won't say nobody believes in it more than me. That sounds silly. I don't know about that. I know I believe in it. But there may be somebody believes in it more than me. I know one thing. I desire to preach. I want God's little children to know it. I don't think I have the ability to do it, but as much as I'm able to do it, I want to do it. I want God's little children to know about the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for his children. I want them to have peace and rest and comfort in the resting and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a great salvation deliverance here in this time world in a temporal way as we embrace that wonderful truth of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and we rest in his finished work. Many of God's little children who are going to be with him in glory today are trusting to some degree in their own ability to get there. And if you are, you're not happy. You're not healthy. You're a little, maybe a little lamb, a little sheep, but you're not healthy. You need some good food. And that's what's found in the kingdom. This says the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. I believe this pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came here into this world. Y'all believe he walked here in this world. I believe he was born of a virgin, just like the Bible says he was. I believe he lived a perfect life without any sin, without any spot, blemish, any taint. I believe every sacrifice of the Old Testament that they said you take a male without any blemish pictures the Lord Jesus Christ who was born of a virgin and he had no sin, no spot, no blemish in him. He never had it when he was born. He never had it in his life as a child. He never had it as he grew up. All the way to the cross, he was the only man could be clearly said there is no... Pilate said, I find no fault in him. You know why? Because there wasn't any to be found. Every accusation that was made against him... You know, men can make accusations against us and almost invariably when they do, we have to say some of it may be true. You know, I may not be guilty of all they said about me, but that's probably some of the things they said that's true. Do you know there wasn't a single accusation ever made against the Lord, but it was a lie. There was nothing wrong with him. No spot, no blemish. If it had been, we'd still be in our sins. The sacrifice would not have been accepted. It wouldn't have been a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The wrath of God would not be appeased and the payment would still be demanded from a righteous and a holy God who cannot look upon sin. And you and I would be, and all of us would be separated from him forever in a place of torment. And we would not have any ability to save ourselves, reform ourselves, restore ourselves, or do anything to help ourselves. We wouldn't have the want to or the ability. The good news is that the one who died on the tree of the cross, who came here into this world, lived his life perfectly, died a perfect death on the tree of the cross. He went as our high priest and offered himself as the perfect sacrifice at Calvary. And the wrath of the Father was appeased. And there's an empty tomb to prove it because he came forth from the grave victorious. And when he went home to glory, it wasn't by anybody else's power, it was by his own power. That same Jesus that you see go away into the clouds and come again. He went away. And yet he said, I'm not leaving you alone. He said, because when I go away, I will come and be with you. And what does that mean? He went away and yet he came. Listen, in the person of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit is with us this morning. I believe he's present with us. I felt him in the singing, didn't you? I felt him in your smiles. I can feel him in our communication. Sometimes it's with words and sometimes it's just with looks. You know, I can feel it in the brethren. I can see the brethren feeding. I can even see them feeding sometimes when they don't want you to know they're feeding. That's what I love. I'd much rather hear them openly say it. But I've seen people feed that didn't even want to feed. I've seen old hard-headed, hard-hearted men who didn't want to show an idea that I have any kind of tear that could possibly run down my face. I've seen them say, "Well, you know, my sinuses are bothering me this morning. I'll tell you your sinus problem. I'm having some runny nose issues." Yeah, you got runny nose. Listen, you're having some heart issues, and the one who's working on your heart, you may deny me or any other preacher, but you'll not deny him. And when he opens up your ear, you can't help but hear it. And when you hear that good news of the gospel, it finds a lodging place. Some of you may remember the time. Some of you probably maybe don't remember any time. You haven't always loved it. I know there's some who've worried about maybe a new birth experience because they feel like, "I've always loved it. Did there ever was a change? I can't find a change because it seems like I've always loved it." Listen, there are some that were born in their mother's womb. John the Baptist never had a time where he went like, "Oh, I'm loving it now." Listen, he was called and leaped for joy as a babe in his mother's womb. Now, you're talking about a powerful God. Can God do that? Listen, I believe everyone who ever gets to heaven will have a new birth experience. And I certainly believe there are little babies that never saw the light of day. They're going to be with the Lord in glory. And how did they get there? I'm telling you, God reached them in the mother's womb. That's why David could say about a son that he never really got to talk to. "I can't go to him, he can't come to me, but I can go to him." How did David know that? "Yeah, I believe I'm going to have one glad morning." I believe I'm going to have fellowship with those of God's little children that maybe I never met here. I believe I'll have a great gathering with others of God's children that I've known. Don't you long to see those dear old brethren, those dear old sisters that used to fill the pews of this church? Don't you long for the day when you'll gather with them again and rejoice and have fellowship? Listen, it won't be like it used to be, because there was a lot of what used to be that wasn't right. But it'll be better than it ever was. You won't have all the stuff that hindered, but you'll have all the good stuff that was. Hear me. Sometimes we think, "Well, what's going to happen when we see one another in glory? Are we going to really know one another?" We'll know one another, but we will know one another, but not the same empty little limited way. We'll know one another as we're known. All of the fellowship we had that was good. Have you had fellowship with brethren in the past that was good? Listen, I've hugged some brothers' neck that I'd love to have here today that I could hug their neck again. I'd love to have fellowship with some good old preacher brethren I used to know and had fellowship with. I'd love to have that. And listen, what we had, it wasn't about flesh. It wasn't about nature. It was about spiritual things. I don't believe that part of us dies, do you? I believe it goes on to be with the Lord in glory. And that spiritual fellowship. Listen, I had some fusses with some of those brethren. I don't want to have any more of those fusses. I'm done with them. I've had brethren I fuss with 1 minute, hug their necks the next. Hug their necks the next minute. Right? That was Madison talk. Anyway. I believe there's a place the Lord has prepared for us where we'll have wonderful fellowship. But I also believe that there's a kingdom that he has here. This one traveled into a far country. Our Lord is in heaven. Our Lord is seated on the right hand of the Father. And yet he's also manifesting himself here with us, just as the Father does. But we haven't seen him personally. But here he is, a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Now, who called his servants? He called them. Who do they belong to? They belong to him. And then he delivered unto them his goods. And I'm telling you, what he's given us is a life that is just so rich and wonderful. The Lord has blessed us who were not a people to be the people or the children of God. A passage of scripture that I use quite often and means so very much to me is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. He said in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, and that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Listen, where we were was not, we were separated from Him, but there has been a change made in our lives. It isn't us who chose Him, it's He who chose us, and it's He who called us. Notice that we are now, though we were not before, we are now a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood. That means a kingly priesthood, by the way. Royal means we were kings and priests unto God. He says, "And holy nation," we certainly wasn't that on our own. "And a peculiar people" means a purchased people, purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are all of those things for a reason. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and a peculiar people." Why did the Lord make His people, call His people to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people? He tells us why. He says, "That ye should show forth the praises of Him." That means that's why we're made. Yeah, praise Him. You're here to praise Him. You were born to praise Him. You were made a new creature to praise Him. Your life is to be about praising Him. Your walk in the kingdom is to be about praising Him. He's given you wonderful gifts. He's given you talent. I looked up the talent a little bit. I get wrapped up every time I look up at the talent. With the change of gold prices and the change of silver prices, boy, when you start thinking about the talent and what it's valued at today, it's unreal. Whether it was a talent of gold or whether it was a talent of silver, it went somewhere, as I looked it up today, somewhere between the least amount it probably would have been about $15,000 at a talent, and up to about $2.5 million if it was gold. I don't know what it was exactly. I know the picture is that He's given us something so very, very valuable. Just think for a minute, if the Lord had left you where you were, how empty your life would be. If He'd have left us in our ignorance, how blind we'd be. If He'd left us with only the things of this old world, you know, when you're a young man, a young woman, you feel like, boy, I got the world by the tail, and you don't, it's not too long, you just realize, oh, this world has eaten me up. I'm falling apart. Listen, if we had hope in Christ only in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. We've got a blessing that's awaiting us eternally. But in this life, He's given us some 5 talents, some 2 talents, some 1 talent. He gave us according to His own several ability. What does that mean? That means He did exactly what He wanted to the way that He wanted to. He didn't owe any of us anything, but what He blessed us with, He blessed some with 1 talent, some with 2 talents, some with 5 talents. He didn't make everybody have this and have that. He doesn't give us all the same kind of house. He doesn't give us all the same kind of car. He doesn't give us all the same kind of companion. He doesn't give us all the same kind of children. He doesn't bless everyone in the church with the same gift. He doesn't call everybody to be a preacher just like every other preacher. He doesn't call every member to be something and another member to be something. He's taught some of you little sisters to cook beans really well. He's taught some of you sisters to be able to make a cake just perfect, beets just right. He's given some preachers the ability to preach in certain areas, and He gives other preachers the ability to do this. He's given us a different role, a different place, and every member of the body is necessary. You say, well, my job isn't nearly as important as the pastor's. Don't say it isn't, because God gave you your job. God gave you your calling. And maybe just a smile. How much a smile means when you say it. How much a little sister's walk has preached to so many of her children and the grandchildren and her family. How much some little sisters who've never had a child life has been such an example to so many that she, though she never was a biological mother, she was a mother to multitudes. And it's all about using that gift God's given you. Using the talents the Lord gives you. Every talent He gives you is valuable. God's little children say, I feel like I'm nothing. Do you know that feeling of being nothing is a great talent? If you understand humility, first of all, the one who feels like I'm nothing will ask God for wisdom. I don't have enough sense to know what to do. And so I'll ask God for wisdom. And guess what? That's a wise man. You want to follow a man who realizes, I don't know without following the Lord. He'll ask of the Lord, and then he'll go the way the Lord teaches him, and that'll be a benefit to the Lord's people. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye here's what we're here for, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. What were we in before he called us? We were in darkness. But he called us into what? His marvelous light. And then there, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. That means that's what we are in this world. You feel like you don't fit in? Listen, once the Lord works on your heart, you just don't fit in anymore. I used to have so much fun there, but I don't have it anymore. I used to be able to go along with it. Something's happened. Something's changed. Like I said earlier, something happens in the hearts of His children. Some were born in that, were born again in the mother's womb. But others grew up and maybe remember a time, boy, I just can't. I just wish they wouldn't drag me to church so much. I wish I didn't have to listen to them sing. Why do they sing all those same old slow songs again and again? Can't we sing something else? Sing something different? It would surely help us if we livened this up a little bit and got this a little, you know, I did this or that. And then all of a sudden something works on your heart and you go like, well, that's what Daddy saw. That's what Mama saw. That's what my brother heard. That's what he got excited about. Why would you get excited hearing some man stand up there for an hour when we're all hungry and want to go eat some chicken? Why would I sit there while he's talking and not want to go hit the door because I'm getting some spiritual food? And once you start feeding on that spiritual food, you forget. Yeah, listen, you still like chicken, but you forget. It gets to be a secondary place. I enjoy a good piece of chicken, but I'd rather hear preaching anytime. And that's saying a lot to me. I'm telling you. I'm not playing with that. I love to hear the gospel proclaimed. I love to hear something that comforts my heart. I love to hear of a hope that goes beyond this old world. I love to hear about the reality of a Savior who might love an old sinner like me. I love to have the things that are going on in my life explained, the feelings that I have. I love to be able to understand there's one when I need something and stand so in such desperate need who is able to meet the needs exceedingly abundantly above anything I could ask or think. He not only is able to do it, he said, I will do it. He won't give me everything I want. Just like my good mama didn't give me everything I wanted. She gave me sometimes some things I needed that I didn't want. She applied them very, very harshly at times. Well, I thought it was harshly, but it was necessary. And sometimes the Lord applies that too. His chastisements are His love towards us. And all the blessings He's provided. Listen, He's given us talents. These talents here were money. But the talents, really, this word talents here, meaning money, is really for us to be spiritually understood as the blessings that come from Almighty God. He has given us all of these things, and the reason He gave it to us is that we might show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He says, dearly beloved, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation, in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That means your lifestyle. It's a change in your lifestyle. It isn't you. It's like God. It isn't you changed yourself. It's God. God's worked on the inside. You work out that which He's worked on the inside, and your life changes. Your walk changes. Your talk changes. Your look changes. Your love changes. What you love, you now love things you once hated, and you hate things you once loved. And a change happens in your life, and the world doesn't understand it. The world won't understand. One little child of grace out in the world who gets touched by the Lord, then they begin to understand it. They long for it. You don't see any dead bugs flying to a light, do you? You know, they're dead. They don't fly to the light. But you turn the light on outside, your living bugs coming to it. They're coming to the light. God's little children in this old dark world are hungry for the light. You're hungry? If you're hungry, that means you're alive. And there's food at the master's table. Come and dine. The banquet table has been prepared by the Lord. The teachings of how to show Him praise has been given by the Lord. The life that gives honor and glory to Him has been shown by the Lord. Now once He's shown it to you and you have that, He has given us that. He says, then he that had received the 5 talents, he went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. What does that mean? That means he went actively in the things God called him to do. And as he did that, the Lord just blessed him. He added to him. Have you ever seen you just never give the Lord as you do what the Lord tells you to do, there's just blessings in doing it. You know, you read this Bible and you start studying it and you go like, oh, what a blessing that was. And you want to read it some more and you want to start studying it some more. And the more you see it, the more you want to read it and you study it. You find the value of what it is to pray as a family, to pray as an individual. And you go, look, I need to pray more. And you see the value of that and you grow in it. And the same thing happens with the preaching. We go, well, I listened and I heard something. Oh, I want to hear some more. I want to listen some more. And I hear these things that are so valuable and important. And you want to apply yourself to them. I don't want to just hear them. I want to heed them. I want to do them. And as you do them, you find, isn't it wonderful? God's way works. God's way is a blessing for you. God's way is the only way for us to live in this world as God's children. He's the one who made us. He knows how we should are the best to live. And we're living in a world that doesn't have a clue on how to get it. Have you understood that the world does not know how to have peace and rest and joy? And the things that God has given us, we won't get it from the world. You get it only from His Word. If you get conformed to this world, it'll make you sick as a little child of God. But if you get transformed by having your mind renewed by the Scripture, that's why hearing the preaching is so important. That's why prayer, searching the Scriptures, is so important. That's why praying is so important. Why singing is so important. Why we need to be active in that. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Now, notice, some have 5, some have 2. Some have different gifts. But they use what the Lord gives them. All this is teaching us is whatever God's given you, you use it. Whatever voice God gave you, use it. Whatever talent the Lord's given you, use it. And as you use it, as He sees fit, He will add to that. He will bless you. He will bless you in that. Listen, He doesn't bless you for it. He blesses you in it. Listen, there's blessing in obedience. You don't bring God under obligation. Every bit of this is still grace. You never leave grace. That's what I love about the Scripture. If you leave grace, you're in trouble. It's by His grace that we have life, and it's by His grace we're able to live that life. It's only by His grace we can be obedient to Him. If we think, well, I've done my part, now God, it's up to you, we're in trouble. Because it's only by His grace we have what we have. And He says, but he that received the one, he went and digged in the earth. You ever dug in the earth very much? It's not fun digging in the earth. You got to work to dig in the earth. He went to work. He's digging in the earth. He don't want to lose what God gave him. So he's not going to do what God says. He's going to do it His way. He's not going to be mindful of it. He's going to dig in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money because he said, and it goes on and tells us later. He said, "I know God can bring up things. God can do it without me. God doesn't need me. God can do, even though He's told me to do this. I know God's will is going to get done. He can reap where He hadn't even sown, and God can reap where He hadn't sown." I'm telling you, when God said, "Let there be light," there wasn't any sun there to give Him any light. He just made the light. When God spoke the world into existence and the plants, He didn't have to plant seeds to get the sun. He made a tree full grown. When He made Adam and Eve, He didn't have to work out how the baby's going to. I mean, He made Adam and Eve full grown. He didn't have to follow some plan that He had. Listen, God speaks and it's done. Yes, He has the power to do that. But listen, what God can do, He is able to do things without us, absolutely. But what He's told us to do, we need to be doing. He didn't tell us to do something. Could God take us and just fill our head with everything we need to know? Absolutely. But He told us to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He could take every preacher, if He wanted to, and just fill his mouth with the words that was necessary for him to share with the congregation. But God didn't see fit to do that. Why? Because God does things right. And He told us to be obedient. He could teach you what we're trying to teach from the Word of God today without us trying to do it, without you getting it here if he saw fit to. This man thought, well, God will give me what he wants to give me. God will take care of it. God will take care of his church. God will take care of his... He'll take care of it. God will take care of it. And yes, God is going to take care of all that all he purposes to do is going to take place. But listen, he has also told us that for us to be active. He didn't tell us to be lazy and slothful and wicked. A little child of grace can be those things. I haven't got to near all of this or any part of it. I'm not going to get all of it. Y'all don't get nervous, because it'd be another hour. He that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid. I want you to understand who this is. He hid what? His Lord's money. He didn't hide some Lord's money. It was his Lord's money. He belonged to the Lord. He was the Lord's servant. But he hid the Lord's money. How many times do we sometimes take those blessings the Lord's given us and hide them? Has the Lord given you a blessing? Then you don't hide it. You go to the tables and you use it. That means you use what he gives you. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest. Oh, verse 19. After a long time, that means the Lord suffers long, and the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That means the Lord does call us. Have you ever had the Lord speak to you in your heart? And have you had and brought you under, reckoned with you and said, what are you doing? Why are you here? Thanks be to God he does that. And he reckoned with them. So that he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm telling you, when you can hear that from the Lord in your heart, it doesn't matter who else is mad at you, upset with you, or what else they may feel about you. All is well in your heart when you can hear him say to you in your heart, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, how are we good? There's none good, no, not one, except by the grace of God. And how are we faithful? Because he gave us the gift of faith and allowed us to be faithful. All of this gives us praise and the glory to God. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In this old world, you are faced with all kinds of problems that we need to be overcome. We need to be a ruler over them. When we follow in the teachings and the way the Lord would have us to do, we find ourselves overcoming by the grace of God. Even our faith, as we trust in the Lord. You just trust in the Lord. He'll make a way. Always does. He'll open the door. He will bless us. Even in the worst situation, the worst trouble. Listen, our brethren have been in trouble. We need to pray for them and believe that the Lord will make a way. He will make a way. He also that received the 2 talents. Notice the 5 talents and the 2 talents received the exact same words from the Lord in obedience. That means what the blessing, somebody said, well, if I could just be in church like a preacher, I could really get some more blessings than I would do as just a member or whatever. Listen, every little brother, every little sister. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about those parts that are least comely are receiving more honor than those that are comely. In other words, you want to know who gets the most? I'll just share this with you. There was a time when the meeting houses were separated based on skin color, even in this part of the country. I won't go into all of that. We all know about that history. But I'm telling you, there was a time when some brethren were willing to sit in the balcony where the seats were considered. These seats were not, they were not, you weren't allowed down in the regular congregation. You were to sit in the balcony, and they were willing and sit there in that balcony to hear the Bible being declared. I'm telling you, I believe the best seats in the house were in the balcony. So what do you mean by that? I mean the one that he is here today that feels to be the least, the less deserving of the bunch, the one who feels like I don't deserve to be here, who really knows what a sinner we are and how undeserving I am. You're in the best seat in the house. And those sometimes of us who get to where I'm glad I'm not like that old fella is, I'm glad I'm not like this, I'm glad I'm like that, when sometimes go home bankrupt and empty. Because we didn't say with the old publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Where do I deserve to be today? Certainly not here. Certainly not before God. I'll tell you, I'm here by his grace. And I have a merciful and a wonderful Savior. And if He can save an old sinner like me, let me tell you, He has the power and has saved. I believe if you love Him, it's because He first loved you. If you want to love Him, some I've heard say, I don't know, I want to love Him. Listen, if you want to love Him, it's because He's loved you. And you can, by His grace. And the lower you feel, the better off you are. And if the preaching is really good, by the end of it, it'll make you feel that way. That's why we need to let God's people know what they are by nature. It's not pleasant to the humanity of man. It lays him out pretty bad when you realize, I've come to church sometimes feeling like I was doing all right until the preacher got on a certain subject and laid me out. Now I feel like, what a mess I am. Thanks be to God. The Lord does that. Anyway. When he had received, he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew. The one with two talents had the exact same words. If you look at it, the same as the five talents. The one with one talent, he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. First of all, the Lord is not a hard man. The Lord is a loving Savior. Yes, he is a God of judgment, but he's also a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He said, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. Yes, the Lord can reap where he has not sown. And gathering where thou hast not straw. Yes, the Lord can gather where he is not straw. He said, and I was afraid. Listen, our doctrine, that which we believe, the truth of the matter is that we're to love the Lord. We're not to serve him out of fear. We're to serve him out of love. This man served him out of fear. He said, I was afraid and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, here's what you gave me. Here's what you got. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Let me tell you what his problem was. He didn't want to do it the Lord's way. He wanted to go his own way and he was lazy. And sometimes we fall into that category. We want to do it our way, and we want it instantaneous. We want a shortcut. I want to know all about the Bible, but I don't want to study a word of it. I want to really be able to preach to the Lord's people, but I don't want to take the time to open the pages of this book and search it out. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then in my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and to he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, for a little child of grace, this whole world is outer darkness. Away from the fold, I'm in outer darkness. Is there a hell for the wicked? Absolutely. This was a brother. And there is a hell really on this earth for God's little children in this world. They won't see an eternal hell. There is an eternal hell. There is just as sure God saved us from an eternal hell. There is a judgment that's eternal that would be ours were it not for the salvation of the Lord. But there are also, like Jonah found, places that are like hell on earth when he was in the belly of that whale in his rebellion against God. And when we get in ourselves thinking we can make it on our own without the Lord, we may find ourselves in those places. I'm thankful old Jonah could cry out even from the belly of the whale and the Lord heard him. Thankful. I'm not near finished with this, and I hope I didn't leave too many things hanging. I feel afraid that maybe I did. If you have any questions about that, please, as you always do. I love those questions too, by the way. They mean so very much to me. Little Sister Martha, I don't mean to bring it, but she asked me a question yesterday, and I almost didn't get to sleep last night looking at that. And first chapter of the book of Leviticus, and all that took place in that sacrifice that was offered under the old law covenant. Beautiful, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way we can even come into this place today without the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we couldn't have this communion. And this fellowship. And when you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Appreciate your kind attention.